I'm going to take public comment now for those that are still here, and then we'll let those folks go, and we'll deal with the TMDLs. So, who is here for public comment? Okay. Mr. Bearden, I have your card. Can you help me, Mr. Briggs?
You need public comment.
And Ms. Taylor, I have your card. Piper Riley, you're still here? And Mr. Bearden is right here.
Mr. Payne's coming up
here. Okay, Mr. Dugan and Gail McPherson I don't see, but I do see Mr. Barrow.
Mr. Barrow's here.
Right. No, I do see Mr. Barrow.
Oh, I do see.
Okay. Mr. Bearden, go ahead.
Don Bearden, Los Osos Prohibition Zone. I'm the one that passed you out this proposed project earlier that... because I thought I was going to speak at the time, Los Osos, so I didn't have to speak later. Anyway, what I want to bring to your attention is all those little blue squares, those pocket pump stations along the bay. They all do not have any backup power supply. So to me, you're looking for a spill. It's just a spill in the making. So I got to researching it, and I found that... You can replace a bunch of those with a vacuum collection system. And the vacuum collection system doesn't have any out leakage. If you're going to spring a leak in a vacuum collection system, it's in leakage. And then the vacuum goes down, so they got out and isolated, and they can fix the problem. AirVac says that they can vacuum collect the whole prohibition zone with three vacuum collection systems stations. And not only that, it would replace every pocket pump station plus all these other pump stations with backup power supplies, because each vacuum pump station would have a backup power supply also. So I know we're supposedly still a gravity/hybrid station or collection system, but you keep seeing as the reports come out, the slash hybrid is been dropped by the wayside, and this is what we have, and I don't think it's adequate. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Ms. Taylor?
Good afternoon. Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos. In your packet today, I would imagine the public got the same packet. There was a letter called Viewpoint, County Takes on Los Osos Sewer Project. It was written by Pavel Ogren. I would like to comment that was a rebuttal, not a letter that is independent of a rebuttal. I put on your places, and I gave some to the secretary, the rebuttal letter that was written by Morgan Rafferty and Jackie Kreb. It has to do with the sewer project in Los Osos. County Takes on Los Osos Sewer Project. It has a great deal of information. It's very pertinent, and it should have been placed in your packet along with this Viewpoint County Takes on Los Osos Sewer Project by Pavel Ogren. On the opposite side of the same page, there is a Viewpoint Gravity System is Best Solution for Los Osos by John Waddell and John Diodati. There is information in the packet that I put out on your places that gives you an option to look at something else besides what the county is trying to promote. It's important that you look at them in tandem, or you do not get the meaning behind the viewpoints. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Dr. Hunter? May I add to that, Ms. Taylor? We did receive the viewpoint by Morgan Rafferty and Jackie Crabb. But thank you for pointing out the link between the two. But we did see them.
You did see them?
They were sent to us.
There was also a letter by Chuck Cecina, who is on the CSD office, and it was also a viewpoint. And it is in the packet that I presented to the secretary and to the board.
Thank you.
Okay. Piper Riley, then Bruce Payne. And last, Al Barrow.
Good evening, Board. I'm Piper Riley from Los Osos. About 10 months after I purchased my home in 2006, I got an NOV. And I didn't know much about the history of Los Osos, but I figured, oh, the county can take care of this. It'll be fine. Then I got the 218, and it was very confusing. It seemed like a blank check, and I started doing my homework, and I realized that we're basically in a situation where Montgomery Watts and Harza was trying to get their project back. Having moved here from another seaside town that also had nitrate problems in their bay, it was on septics. They changed over to a gravity system. It was a huge impact on the environment, never helped the nitrate issue, and was economically just a nightmare. Los Osos itself, I started wondering, well, here we are again with a septic situation. Is this really the problem? We are surrounded by farms, failing gravity systems, and so I really thought it was kind of hard to see our septics as the culprit. And I have found several documents in the meantime, inter-office memos, that state that the Los Osos Wastewater Project probably won't change the nitrate level at all. Recently, there have also been a lot of findings supporting this, and Al Barrow is going to discuss that a little bit more. As was mentioned earlier today, the way the Los Osos Wastewater Project stands right now, it's going to cost about $100 million to reduce the nitrates by 1 milligram. And that's really an outrageous price. And does that weigh the benefits? Now, my house is on 60 feet of Zeta Zone in an area where, above my home where there are no homes, the well is testing, and there are no horse farms, there's nothing. It's testing at 10 milligrams. In my neighborhood, it's testing at 15. So I'm not really sure that I'm polluting so much. Also, my area, it's as densely populated as Cabrillo Estates, which is exempt. So I question the science behind this. Now, we all want clean water, but we also don't want to be removed from our homes. And the price of this current project is astronomical. And you have to ask yourself, in this time of environmental crisis, with everything that's going on economically also, if thousands of people are displaced from their homes over a project that takes away our water, doesn't solve any of our problems, we could very easily have a federal investigation to what is going on. I would love to see a project go in, have it be done now, and that's all we've ever wanted. We want a green project, though. And if we had had a green proposal with a proper reuse, I don't think that we'd be stalled the way we're going to be. CEQA was not followed. We have no baseline information that's correct at this point. We have not looked at reasonable options. It's just the Montgomery Watson project, repackaged slightly, shoved right back at us. So I ask you, please, to consider this, because the county is saying that the only reason that they want to do this project or that they have to do this project is because you are mandating it. Now, I spoke with Mr. Packard. One more quick thing.
Quickly.
Please. That we can't be a discharge zone, there's a zero discharge. Gravity systems inherently leak, and I've wondered how is that going to play out. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Mr. Payne.
Thank you again for giving me one more chance to talk. I need to correct a statement that I wrote on the back of my card. David LeCaro did not say there was no proof that septic tanks were polluting the bay. He said he didn't know if there was any proof, or words to the effect. I did have a conversation with him at one of the earlier breaks this afternoon, so that is slightly incorrect. But the fact is that we have recharge of the upper aquifer, which recharges the upper aquifer to overflowing every day. Sweet Springs has been running into the bay forever. We have a well at 3rd Street that is an artesian well that they use the full production of that 24/7, 24 hours a day, in 7 days a week, that runs fully. It's recharged by the septic tank effluent. And Redfield Woods is where Pepper was just talking about. They have 60 feet of vadosone. I never knew that till we were issued CDOs and we start talking to different people. How much vadosone do you have? And I didn't even know the term vadosone. It was unsaturated sand between a leach field and the groundwater. And this prohibition zone, there's no science to the way it was drawn. Maybe the Maybe the Redfield Woods was put in a prohibition zone so we'd get rid of the septic tanks there so we could put 800,000 gallons a day in Broderson, which would only been in 8 acres, a quarter of a mile long, and doing away with tertiary treated water going into the upper aquifer at this time in 60-foot of vadose zone. And the rest of us have an average of 20 to 30 foot of vadose zone. It's only the permitted septic tanks that would not have passed a percolation test that the county permitted in high groundwater areas. There were tanks that they filled with water and put rocks in them till they settled into the water that the hole was dug for them. And there was another one that had groundwater on the surface. These things did not pass a percolation test, and they couldn't have. So basically, I won't take any more of your time. We're doing a portion of $200 million project that creates three problems that don't exist now to solve a problem that never did exist. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Payne. Mr. Barrow?
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank the board and the chairperson for being very patient today with the speakers. I know a lot of speakers were off topic, and I thought you were very, very generous with your consideration. Thank you very much. And having said that, can I have somebody work my slide for me, please? I want to talk the Clean Water Act, no adverse effect. And let's move through this thing pretty quickly. Can I have the next slide? Los Osos, Morro Bay pollution, background, Morro Bay, Los Osos. Next slide. Morro Bay pollution at the men's colony, you guys corrected, and the city of Morro Bay corrected their failed gravity system, which was putting a lot of pollution into the bay. What happened when it stopped? Los Osos groundwater nitrogen source, where did they come from? Next slide, please. Topic one. Morro Bay Oyster Farms was tagged with high E. coli before all that was cleaned up. Now the California Department of Health indicates a clean bill of health from 2007 and 2008 sanitary survey of the bay, which was then reviewed by Creek Labs, and the conclusion was by the owner of Creek Labs, for the most part, the fecal coliform levels are acceptable. Thus, we can say septic tanks are not polluting the bay because no source is polluting the bay. This study does not identify sources of fecal coliform bacteria pollution. It merely identifies fecal coliform results at certain points. You would have to bring in another information to connect these results with the septic tanks in Los Osos and the currents in the bay. Next slide, please. The human nitrogen sources are very questionable because isotope studies have shown that there aren't any. In the studies that have gone on so far, there have been a couple of them, one last year on isotopes. The horses produce one-third of the nitrogen in the basin. Why aren't you regulating them to keep their horse manure in sealed containers? Or what most farmers do is they put them in concrete boxes. So those are agricultural sources. The isotope testing, next one please, shows that non-human sources are where the nitrogen is coming from. You can age test with tritium and other methods to see where they are coming from. If you spend $200 million and miss the target pollution, it's unacceptable. But the lowest impact and the best management is a septic tank effluent gravity collection, which is a simple one and a quarter pipe off of the lot from the outlet of the septic tank onto the collection pipes in the street. At least 50% of the community can be collected that way. Upon treatment with wetman polishing, which will make it safe then for ag reuse and indirect potable discharge. So the data you've gathered regarding nitrogen amounts in the wells is specious and best, this is my last comment, and characterizes the facts. There is no environmental disaster. Please ask Larry Rio, the man who was tasked with sampling and having his information, have his new information evaluated. He was the one that was doing the testing for the county that's in your records. All the records that you have of nitrogen came from his company, Earth Systems.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Have a good weekend.
You too. That concludes our public comment.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, Mr. Perlman.
Yes, I turned in about TMDLs in general, not specifically to any.
Okay. I misread
I'm
that.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
If I did that.
Go ahead.
What I'm talking about is I'm urging the board to Previously in Watsonville, I was present and the board passed a zero tolerance, I believe, restrictions on, sorry, that would be PMDLs. In other words, total maximum daily loads for pathogens. I think zero tolerance is a very admirable goal to head to, but I believe that at these times you are interacting with agencies, and most of these creeks have no single responsible agency responsible to them, and therefore a zero TMDL is putting an extreme amount of pressure on the agencies, which may be a county, may be a city, to control situations that may not actually be under their control. I would urge you to find a level, acceptable levels other than zero for those creeks, at least as a short-term goal, to simply to allow your implementers to actually have the time to gather the data, identify the true sources of those pollutions, and institute programs to clean them up that are not taxing them essentially. So some mechanism to achieve a partial TMDL. I would like to speak on an issue relating to the broader SIN recharge for Los Osos, and do let me know if I'm entering into previously discussed. And, one observation that I made about broader SIN essentially is that now that the saltwater intrusion front is virtually at Broaderson, virtually, within 10 years, it would have passed Broaderson. So let's say that Broaderson would come into effect in 10 years, it would actually be pushing saltwater further into the aquifer. So I am actually not against the use of Broaderson in Los Osos as part of a project. I am just pointing out that the window of opportunity is actually very short. Once that saltwater intrusion front has passed and the waters from Broaderson start coming down the hill, they'll actually be pushing saltwater, the head will actually push saltwater further in. So I urge you to adopt whatever policies that take that into account. Another point I'd like to make about saltwater intrusion is that there are multiple fronts. The salt water in the ocean is of course...
Mr. Perlman, we did discuss this item before.
I accept your conclusion. I will end my testimony here.
Thank you for your comments. Have a good weekend. Okay, that is my last speaker card. Okay, thank you very much. We can then go...